When I was asked to come along and speak tonight, I was told that the subject is the Song of Moses. So we read about that in the first 21st verses of Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. Now I'm going to read it differently tonight, and you'll follow how I'm reading it as I'm going to speak about it. So we're going to read Exodus chapter 15. We'll commence at verse 1. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, he is become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him an habitation. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war, the Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. Verse 21. And Miriam answered them, Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Verse 5. The depths covered them. They sank into the bottom of as a stone. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. And in the greatness of thine excellency, thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. And with the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright as an heap. And the depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them. Thou didst blow with thy wind. The sea covered them, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. Verse 21. And Miriam answered them, Sing to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. Verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? Thou stretchedst out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy hast led forth thy people, which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength unto thy holy habitation. The people shall hear and be afraid. Sorrow shall take hold on the inhabitants of Palestina. Then the dukes of Edom shall be amazed. The mighty men of Moab, trembling, shall take hold upon them. All the inhabitants of Canaan shall melt away. Fear and dread shall fall upon them. By the greatness of thine arm shall they be as still as a stone, till thy people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over which thou hast purchased. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horse of Pharaoh went in with his chariots and with his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought again the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea. And Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took her timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, "Sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea." And I trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word for his name's sake this evening. This is the first song recorded for us in Scripture. And it's all about Jehovah. There's nothing about Israel in the song. It's a song of paean of praise to their God. And when we think of this great triumphant song, it would speak to us of a greater redemption. George gave us this lovely hymn tonight. "We have known redemption, Lord, from bondage worse than theirs by far." And this great song of redemption, and it speaks of the glorious triumph over all the enemies, for they are singing this song. But this song is also referred to in the book of Revelation. And we read there in chapter number 15 that they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Come, great and marvelous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. Who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? For thou art holy, for all the nations shall come and worship before thee, for thy judgments are made manifest." And if we find in Exodus chapter 15 a song that is reflecting on what God has done, when we turn to Revelation and chapter number 15, we learn about a song that is being sung of what God will do. We're in between. And so we look back and we look forward. And these lovely songs that we have in Holy Scripture that bring so much to our attention. And when we think of the bondage that they were in, I'm no doubt that you were reading from the beginning of Exodus. And when you were in chapter 2 and verse 23, you would learn that the Israelites, they sighed. But when we get here to chapter 15, the sing. And that's life's experiences. We know that the sigh and the sobs, but there are songs that we can sing. They would look back in this experience at this time in their life, and they think of the past. But they're thinking now of the present, of what God has done for them. And so we think of the overthrow of that Egyptian host that followed them into the sea. And so when we think of this lovely, lovely song, I want us to consider tonight that it's found, as I read it, three stanzas and a chorus. Three verses and a chorus. What a lovely song. And in that last chorus that we read of in verse number 21, there's an interesting looking expression in it. And Miriam answered them. The them is masculine. And the suggestion is that in those verses that we've read, verses number 1 to verse number 5, we have Moses leading the men. And then comes in the chorus with Miriam and the women folks with their timbrels and dancing and the sing. The ode that's at the very beginning in verse number 1. And then we have the men singing again. And we read these in verses 6 through to 10. And then we have the women folks singing a chorus. And then we have from verse number 11 through to verse 19 that we have there the men singing again. And the women bringing in the chorus at the very end. That's how it appeals to me. When Stephen asked me to take this subject, I said immediately, I spoke on this in Trinidad at a conference many, many years ago. Well, I never found my notes. I don't know where they are. I went through and I looked at the computer. I did find a page of notes in an old notebook, but you could speak for about 2 minutes on the notes that I had there. And so we looked at that afresh, keeping in mind, as I thought of how I developed it then, but what I actually said, I don't remember. But I want to think with you tonight about what we've read in the book of Revelation. I notice that in Revelation there are certain statements made about a song that will be sung that could be put over the verses that we have read in chapter 15. And we'll think about that as we go through it tonight. The song of Moses. And what is it? It's concerning Jehovah's triumph. The Lord has triumphed. He said, the Lord, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. It's the children of Israel. Interesting, the word is always a word that's in the masculine. And it has to do with the thought that that's all together. It is the word son for son. But it is the word inclusive of the company, the nation. And they're going to sing this song to the Lord. I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. Now that's an interesting expression. Actually, the word triumph and the word gloriously is exactly the same word in the Hebrew. And there is one translation I noticed that goes like this. He has triumphed, triumphed. He has triumphed gloriously. When I turn to another translation, I discover this. That it has something else. It says in Darby, he is exalted. The Lord is exalted. Now there's other translations use that same expression. When I looked at that this afternoon, a chorus came to my mind. It's a modern chorus. So, Google. And this is what I got. He is exalted. He is exalted on high. I will Praise him. He is exalted forever. He is exalted, and I will praise his name. He is the Lord. Forever his truth shall reign. Heaven and earth rejoice in his holy name. He is exalted, King. The King is exalted on high. That was written by someone by the name of Tamula Paris. Now you possibly have sung it. I heard it sung on CD. And possibly that's what made it come to my mind this afternoon. He is exalted. The Lord is exalted on high. Now whether that dear lady had Exodus 15 in mind, I don't know. Whether she was using that modern translation of verse number 1, I don't know. But what we do know that the sentiment is right there in the verse. The Lord had triumphed gloriously. The Lord is on high. That's what Moses is saying here. And he speaks about what he says. I will sing to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider has he thrown into the sea. So when we come to this psalm, to this portion, we think of what the psalmist says. For in there in Psalm 105, we read this. He brought forth his people with joy, and his chosen with gladness. And that's what God has done. When he has redeemed his people, the psalmist says there, he's brought them forth with joy and with gladness. My, it was a happy day. Sometimes you and I would sing that lovely hymn, and we would sing, oh happy day, when Jesus took my sins away. But I like to think of the next one, it's in the believers. Oh happy day, when first we fell. When we think of the day that when we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour, we look back with it and we say, oh happy day. And we thank God for what he has done, what the Lord has done. And that's what they are doing. They are thanking the Lord, and they lift their paean of praise to the Lord for what he has done. But first of all, for what he is in himself. And so they think of this greatness of the Lord. They sing his praises to their God. So this first strophe, this first verse, tells me about the personality of God being revealed, what he is. What he is. And it's good for us to know, to get to know who our God is. Look at what the verse says. The Lord is my strength and song. Mm-hmm. And he has become my salvation. He is my God. And I will prepare him habitation. My Father's God, and I will exalt him. You know, there's three different words there describing who our God is. For he says he is the Lord. In our English translation, it's the Lord. That occurs 48 times in our Bible, and once by another word. The word that's here in the Hebrew, Jah. Jah. The first time it ever occurs. And of course, I worked amongst a people who had the long dreads, the Rastafarians. If we had worked in Jamaica, we would have recognized more of them. But they were the Rastafarians. And there they were, their hair growing long and down their back, and some of these men would sit on their hair. Who do they worship? They worship Jah. They borrow from the scriptures, from the Hebrew Bible, the title that we have right here in verse number 2. We have Jah. We have the Lord. Who is he? He is the Eternal. He is the ever-existing one. When we get down the verse a little, we come to another one. My God. El. And what does that mean? He's a strong one. He's the mighty one. And the first time we come across that expression is in the book of Genesis. And we learn there in chapter 14 and verse 18 that there was a man called Melchizedek. And that man called Melchizedek, he worshipped the Most High God. The mighty, strong one. And we come down a little bit further. He says, my Father's God. And who is he? He's the God we read of in the very first verse of our Bible. In the beginning, God. Elohim. He is the one who was, as we read in Revelation 1, who is, and whoever shall be. It's wonderful to think of. This is how this little song will open up, as they're fascinated, as they're taken up with the person of God. And these lovely titles. I sometimes see people's names in a meeting, and I'm going to say it again. George, you remember old Hughie Queen? Yeah, he did. He nodded his head. You remember on Lordsday mornings that brother old Hughie Queen used to stand there and get up and worship, and of course his hand was always there, and his other hand was there, and he would stand so. As he would stand and worship on the Lord's Day morning. And he used to worship and thank God, who is the first great cause of all. Now, whether George remembers that, it's stuck in here. The first great cause of all. That's who they're worshipping. The one who is the first great cause of all. Of course, I didn't know in those days that your brother Queen had his Newbery Bible, as some of us have now. But there it is. Here is a singing people who will worship in their song, and they'll worship God. I'm thinking of a Trinidad brother, no longer in our assemblies, was in the assembly, brought up as a Roman Catholic home, and he said in his testimony, my desire was to know God. That was his desire. Yes, here they are, a company who will worship. But when we get down here to the fact that verse number 3, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name, Jehovah. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. What did you think about him? He says, Pharaoh's chariots, and his host hath he cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. And I want to think with you for this moment of the plight of those Egyptians. A redeemed people have got left and gone out. And the host of Pharaoh will follow them. And there stands between them the pillar cloud. And at night there will be the pillar of fire, the presence of the Lord in their midst. And they pass through the sea. And Pharaoh and his host will come after them. And they'll be drowned in the Red Sea. Now you were thinking possibly last meeting in chapter 14. And there we read in verse number 25 that he, God, took off their chariot wheels when they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, let us flee from the face of the Israel and from the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And you can see that company, they've gone into the sea. God took off their chariot wheels. How? I don't know. That's what the scripture says. And God fights for his people. What does that mean for us? It means that you and I have been redeemed by the sovereign grace of God. And the Lord is for us. Who can be against us? Not easy at times. In the work of your life. In the business life. In the school life. In every facet of life. It's not easy. But the Lord is for us. Who can be against us? That's where we rest. We just give God thanks. When we think of this, that the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the Pharaoh came into the sea after them. And the Bible says there remained not so much as one of them. Again, we're going to the Psalms. But this time, Psalm 76. And in Psalm 76, the psalmist contemplates this. And he pens this lovely psalm and he says this, at thy rebuke, O Lord God of Jacob, both the chariot and the horse are cast into the sea and a deep sleep. Yeah. So Miriam takes up the refrain. The horse and his rider are they cast into the sea. The Lord that triumphed gloriously. Must have been a tremendous song that day. How many thousands have been redeemed? Millions? And to hear those male voices raising their voices in praise to God. And to hear the women folks come in with the refrain, the Lord triumphed gloriously. It must be tremendous. Could I say this? They had rehearsed. It would seem as to be a spontaneous song. And there it goes. It's a beard of praise to her God. Look at the second strophe. What does it say? I want to think here now of the power of God. Displayed what he has done. We'll learn more about that now in the second section than in the first. In the first it speaks about what he is. In the second section, what he's done. What does it say? Look at verse number 15. Verse number 6. Thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Oh, some folk would tell us, you know, God is a hard, uncaring. God is a God of love. But God is also a God of infinite righteousness. Sometimes when we come over to John's first epistle, and we like to think of the fact that God is love, but we pass by that expression, God is light. And we realize this, that in God is light, he can't look upon evil. And we read here that he's become glorious in power. His right hand hath dashed in pieces the enemy. Shattered it. Again, when we come to the Psalms, and while it's a different word than the original, Psalm 2 says this, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, and thou shalt dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Psalm 2, the lovely psalm, it speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ in particular. And we realize this, that God is a righteous God, and he will judge. Remember when Moses went in to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. The Lord would have us to go and worship 3 days' journey into the wilderness. You remember what Pharaoh said? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Who is the Lord that I should obey him? Well, he found out who the Lord was. And he found out that the Lord was a God of judgment, a righteous judgment, a holy God. Let me go a bit further than that. He says in verse number 7, in the greatness of thine excellency thou hast overthrown them that rose up against thee. Thou sentest forth thy wrath, which consumed them as stubble. We turn to the book of Hebrews and we learn this in chapter 12. Our God is a consuming fire. Our God's holy. Our God is a consuming fire. God looks after his people, you know. God is the one who cares for us. And God is the one who watches over us. There may be times that you can look back to, as I'm looking back to this present moment of an experience, of my life's experience, and to know that God did something. I was accused in front of other workmen in the workshop of saying something. And I said in front of those other workmen, I did not say that. And the boss said, you did. I said, I didn't. He said, you did. Says, I didn't. Going up the road, he turned to the older apprentice, for I was just an apprentice. He says, John didn't say it, but I was not admitting that in front of the men. You got it? You realize? That man went from being big, and I still think about it often, down in size. I've often wondered, did God put his finger upon him? God put his finger on Pharaoh. And he says here, at the blast of thy nostrils, the waters were gathered together, the flood stood upright as a heap. We try to understand this. Here is the Red Sea. Oh, I know some people tell us it's the Reedy Sea, and it's only that depth. Here is the Red Sea, and the waters stand upright. And the children of Israel go through on dry land. And God blew with his wind. It's a mighty miracle that God has done. And the waters flew up. And they stood up as a heap. The depths were congealed in the heart of the sea. That's how they can go through. Again, we come back to the psalm. And in Psalm 78, it says, he divided the sea and caused them to pass through and made the waters to stand as a heap. It was a tremendous miracle. Later on, they'll come to a Jordan and God will roll back the waters. And that time was the time of the overflowing of the river, when it flooded the plain all around and God stopped the water from flowing and rolled it back. Our God is a God of miracle. Our God is a powerful God. Our God's a mighty God. He can do more above all that we could ever ask or think. So they pursued into the enemy said, now notice the I wills. I will pursue. I will overtake. I will divide the spoil. I will draw my sword. My lust shall be satisfied upon them. My hand shall destroy them. That's what they say. I will. I will. I will. I will. And God says, no. Verse 10. Thou didst blow with thy wind, and the sea covered them. Notice, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. They sank as lead. In verse 5, they sank to the bottom as a stone. In that verse number 10, they sank as lead in the mighty waters. God judged. When we come to Deuteronomy, what he did unto the army of Egypt. Here is a new generation born in the wilderness. Perhaps some had come out of Egypt as children. But here is a second giving of the law in Deuteronomy. And we read, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto the horses, unto their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea to overflow them that pursued you, after you, and how the Lord had destroyed them unto this day. Again, the psalm speaks of that. He says, to cause the waters to cover their enemies, there was not one of them left. One. I know there's going to stand here and you'll see the dead upon the seashore. Not one. Oh, the tragedy. Not one left. But God brought them through and they did not perish. Let me have that one. But the song of Moses was this, or Miriam, they sang that chorus. At the end of the first stanza, we read, that great and marvellous are thy works, Lord God Almighty. I take that and place it over it from Revelation chapter 15. And in that same verse, we can have this next expression, that just and true are thy ways, thou King of saints. God's just, he's righteous in his judgments. The third trophy, the purpose of God revealed, what he will do. Here we get to. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like unto thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? My, what a God. Is there anyone like them? This is our God. There's none like him. Thou stretchest out thy right hand, the earth swallowed them. Thou in thy mercy leddest forth thy people which thou hast redeemed. Thou hast guided them in thy strength. Notice, you might wonder about this bit. Unto thy holy habitation. But there's no tabernacle. It has not even been discussed. It has not been revealed. And yet we have this lovely expression, that thou hast led them unto thy holy habitation. See, God's purposes is this, that there will be a place where he will choose to place his name. It will be that place in this desert. There will be that place on Mount Moriah. And you know, that gives us encouragement for us today. You remember John 14? What did the Lord Jesus say? In my Father's house, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe on and also in me. And the Lord is pointing us forward and carrying our thoughts forward. We've not reached there yet, and neither had they. But there on the banks of that Red Sea, God has shown to them that there is going to be that holy habitation, that they'll go towards it day by day. Now what happens now? You can remember what took place in the book of Joshua in chapter 2. You remember what took place when two spies were taken into a harlot's house? Well, I believe that she was a harlot, prostitute, put it bluntly, a lewd woman. I know there are modern translations say she was an innkeeper. I know that. That softens it very, very much. Shows to us the starkness. It says, we know, we have heard. We have heard what the Lord has done. What happens? They fear. We read these words. I know that the Lord has given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you, when you came out of Egypt, and what ye did unto the two kings of the Amorites and so on. We've heard. We're terrified. We're afraid. There's dread. We've got a wonderful future because we belong to Christ. But for the world, there's a fearful looking forward to judgment. That's why we pray for those in our families who are not saved. We could have children. We could have grandchildren. We could have brothers. We could have sisters. We could have those who are tied to us, that we are kith and kin. We've got neighbours. A fearful looking forward to judgment. God is righteous. God is holy. So that prospect for the nation is found in verse 17. Thou shalt bring them in and plant them in the mountain of thine inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which thou hast made for thee to dwell in the sanctuary, O Lord, which thy hands have established. And God is going to do that. That's why we can turn again to Revelation 15 and remember, who shall not fear thee, O Lord, and glorify thy name? So the refrain, and I think the time is gone. Miriam the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a timbrel in her hand. And all the women went out after her with timbrels and with dances. And Miriam answered them, sing ye to the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he cast into the sea. And we turn to the Psalms again. He had put a new song in my mouth. even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. I wonder if we'd have the redemption hymn book tonight. But we won't. But if we had, we could have finished that with a new song. I can sing it now. With a ransom throng, power and dominion, unto him that was slain, shall we pray. Our Father, we do thank you for thy word. Thank you, O God, as we looked at some of these verses and parts of them, and to be reminded, our Father, of the song that they sang, the song of redemption, the song that they sang on that eastern shore of the Red Sea, when they said, the Lord hath triumphed gloriously, the horse and his rider, and he cast into the sea. Our Father, we do thank you for salvation. Thank you again, our Father, for ever saving us. Blood bought, blood washed, kept by the power of God, day by day. Grant, our Father, that in your exercise for thee, to see others reached and saved, whether it's the word spoken or the leaflet handed out, we might yet see some others, as it were, brought in under the shelter of the blood, in the separation of the sea, to be redeemed by the power of God. Now, Lord, and we seek thy blessing as we part. Take us each home safely as we give thanks in our Saviour's name.